Hi folks, I've got the absolute pleasure of being joined by Shad from the YouTube channel Shadiversity. If you don't know him, go look him up because he does great work. He talks about castles and medieval war a lot, which is definitely up my alley. But he also is concerned about, well, the modern world and the state of families, which is something we're going to talk about because you're a very successful father yourself, aren't you?
Thank you. Father of five.
That's amazing. I'm at four. Yeah. Yeah, so my wife's like, yeah, that's enough. We're not having any more. And to be honest with you, I'm fine with that.
That was kind of our intent. But interestingly enough, my wife and I, going into parenting, we actually were like, we wanted as many as we could manage. We would have been happy 12 and more, right? Like we genuinely love kids more than, you know, I can really express. But we also understood that we have to take it one at a time, see what we can manage. Yeah. And we could see that, okay, I think we have hit our limit at five, even though there is that side of us that, gosh, we would love more. But yeah. Five is brilliant.
My wife, every single day, she says something like, I'd like another baby. And it's like, okay, we have a current baby at the moment. She's 6 months old. And, you know, we've got more than enough to handle. Four is enough. So, you know, no more for us, thank God.
But you mind if I jump on something that you mentioned? So, yeah, I started doing YouTube swords and everything. Castles, history, knighthood, all that stuff. I've always been deeply, deeply interested in cultural events, as well as the way the culture manifests. More so probably the way the culture manifests in terms of media, because that had such a astounding impact on me growing up. The heroes that I was engrossed in, the stories, the mythology, and it literally made me a better person. I grew up as a kid wanting to be a superhero. And that was an intent. That was an active quest of mine as a kid. And I remember having conversations with my other friends like, how can we get superpowers? Let's really discuss this. And I went through all like the list. Like,
I don't think gamma radiation.
No, I don't want to risk getting bitten by a spider because I don't think it's
not in Australia anyway.
Yeah, well, right. Genie bottles were really too hard to find. I didn't know it, but I came up with this brilliant plan. It was epiphany as a kid. It's like, oh my gosh. I could ask Santa for magical powers. He has magical powers. Yeah, he could grant them to me. Yeah. And so literally I did that. I actually asked Santa Claus for magical powers. And I eventually got a note back from Santa one Christmas stating that he couldn't give them to me yet, but he would give them to me in the future. And I was like, yes! But it was because of the impact of what I was engrossed in. And there was some great, great just cartoons and role models that I really identified with. Superman was a big one, Spider-Man, and of course, Robin Hood and all those things. And so that's actually what was my goal in life, to be a writer, to try and make stories that could have these same kind of positive things. And my quest was to be an author before a YouTuber. Right. YouTubing, I started as, I want to correct misinformation. It was just a hobby, something I enjoyed, but also potentially build a fan base to launch my writing career. But it certainly became its own thing, and I love doing what I do. Yet there is that side of me that still is so interested in the stories and everything, and that's where my second channel has really risen, Night's Watch. And that's where I get to, it's mainly pop culture criticism, because, there is a lot to criticize these days, Carl.
No shortage of subject matter.
Yes. And so that's where I get my outlet to talk about that. And then, of course, I do have the media I'm able to produce. So I have my novel that I was able to launch and doing a graphic novel now. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping to just dive into that and push it as far as I can. And so sorry for the sidetraction about that. But And so I do get to address the things. And more recently, which is kind of rounding this back into the topic, I did a video addressing the plight of young men.
I saw.
Mm-hmm. And because this is something that's been on my mind for a long time, and my heart breaks.
Yeah, mine too. And it's interesting you bring up the media, right? Because I have been thinking in the past few years just about the media that I consumed when I was young. And I went back and watched a bunch of it, like just literally kids' cartoons from like the 80s and 90s, right? And one of the things I just found remarkable is how unperverse it was. Right? Mm. How actually wholesome. Yeah. Like people find like things like He-Man and Transformers comical now, but actually if you go back and watch them, they're good messages.
Really good.
The heroes always do the right thing.
Yes, and He-Man often ended with a positive message.
An actual, like, moral lecture.
Yes.
A conservative, often, moral lecture. I mean, there was one episode of He-Man where the characters are lecturing you about the Magna Carta and the importance of the Magna Carta.
Yeah.
And I was just like, yes. Mm-hmm. You know, if I were my dad, I'd want my son watching that. And I, as the father to my sons, I would be more than happy for them to watch that. Yeah.
I just, you know? Just on He-Man's, like there was an episode where He-Man lost his sword and he had to confront the bad guy without his powers.
Right.
And the message at the end was, you know, I didn't have my sword, but I used my brain this time. And there are other kind of things that you can develop. Mm. And there are layers to that message that can resonate and be really positive. And it's and He-Man is hilariously goofy.
Sure.
But as a kid, I ate that up. He-Man was amazing.
But it's sincere.
Yes.
That's the difference. Because I watch the cartoons that my kids have to watch now, because that's all that's on Netflix or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And they are made by cynical millennials who are trying to introduce irony into them. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, look, an 8-year-old is not ironic. They don't understand irony. And actually, it's probably perverse to try and make them ironic. This is not good for them. Actually, a diet of sincerity is what is genuinely good for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you should be reinforcing sincere and decent messaging rather than making gross jokes that are aimed at adults and things like that. It's just not appropriate at all. And I really despise it, actually.
Mm-hmm.
On a visceral level, I actually despise some of the things I catch my son watching. But they're just totally normal kids' cartoons for this era.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't take it, man.
Yeah, and the people making the cartoons, they're aware that it does have influence.
Yeah, that's why they do it. Mm-hmm. They're totally aware.
Well, they've said that. They've just been bold-faced and just admitted it.
Yeah.
Because
they're promoting social messages. And let's talk about social messages. Because actually, like, if you go back and look, just look at any example. Like, there's no question of who the hero and the villain is in the story, right?
Mm.
In every single one, in like Thundercats, Transformers, He-Man, you know, G.I. Joe, whatever it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
All the men take responsibility, right? They are the ones taking responsibility. They are just stereotypically masculine, you know?
Yeah.
They're heroic. They do the right thing in all circumstances, even when that's the difficult thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, they solve their problems with violence, which, and I know it's not a popular thing. It's not a popular thing, but I think that really is the core of what being a man is.
Mm-hmm.
The last resort is always the fight. And that's the core of every superhero movie. It always comes to a physical confrontation in which the hero has to use his physical virtues to overcome the villain.
That speaks to something quite, I think, deeper in the subconscious. I think people understand this on a subconscious level because it plays out in so many levels where if there's any conflict and every other option to resolve the conflict fails, the last resort that it always falls to is violence. If it's a conflict that must be.
It's the final arbitration.
Exactly. That's a good way to put it. And people understand that.
Yeah.
And when it falls to that, right, who are the people, who out of the groups of society, who are the people that usually have the task of taking that up?
Computer programmers? HR managers? Exactly. It's the
men
that you want.
Yeah, exactly.
The people of last resort.
And this is why it's actually a virtue for men to cultivate the ability to be violent.
Mm.
That needs to be paired as strongly with the ability to control it and understand its use and respect it.
And this is Jordan Peterson's point.
Well, yeah, but this is also something I've understood just from watching cartoons.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, like when I heard stuff like Jordan Peterson say stuff like that, to me it's like, that's true.
Yeah.
I've known it my whole life.
Yeah.
Isn't it a shame that it's so foreign for people to hear now?
Yeah, Jordan Peterson was doing something very novel when he articulated it. Because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, every young man knows that this is true because it's part of your life.
Yes.
You know, you'll get into fights. You'll have to deal with these things.
Mm-hmm.
But to have it actually spoken of as a virtue in the modern world is just not something that happens.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, you know, I don't want to be the man who breaks it to everyone, but we live in a very feminine society at the moment, which I don't think is good for young men. At all. And one of the major criticisms of, like, you know, 80s and 90s cartoons was, oh, well, it was capitalist, cynical capitalism. And I've got a great rejoinder to this. Like, yeah, it is. right? It's entirely about, like, the people doing it, what was on the front of their minds was, we want to sell you products. That's great. So what did they do? They just took the traditional heroic archetypes of Western legends and transposed them onto a consumable product and then fed that to young people. It's like, great. No, that's great. That's unthinking traditionalism. Mm-hmm. They didn't think, oh, we need to reinvent the wheel. We don't have a critical consciousness. We're just going to reinforce the goodness of our own civilization back to future generations. Mm-hmm. Like, sorry, capitalism doesn't, you know, you can say, well, it's soulless. Yeah, maybe, but it's also doing exactly what we want.
But it also ends up being more successful because people respond and resonate to universal truths and even subconscious truths. Like we talked about, there's a subconscious understanding of this about the need and capacity to have violence but controlled and for men to be able to promote these things and everything. And it resonates with guys. Guys enjoy this stuff because when they see the hero stand up for himself, fight bad guys and everything, like, there's this feeling, and most guys are like, I'd love to be like that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's the whole reason why we have the action hero masculine fantasy archetype, right?
Oh, yeah.
Guys love that stuff because that's who they want to be like. They want to be the type of person that will be able to protect and provide, and it resonates deeply. And interestingly enough, when you do have media that has those themes in it, they generally do better. And it's so interesting because so many TV shows, right, that are being made. So many examples. I'm reviewing Wheel of Time recently, right?
Oh, yeah.
And there's a running trend, and it's just frustrating the heck out of me, where the villains in the original book are really evil. But in the TV show adaptation, there's this one villain that they made very sympathetic. Oh, you need to understand why she's a villain.
There's a gray zone here. Oh, it's very morally nuanced.
And then all the heroes,
they
have to be morally ambiguous and do really questionable things. And I can't freaking stand it.
George R.R. Martin has got so much to answer for.
But in Wheel of Time, this is why Wheel of Time was so popular, the book series that has these classic heroes that are good-hearted people to the core and really bad villains, but in the adaptation, the modern thing, it's skewing it. And so there are multiple things like this, like modern-day Marvel, where the hero's suddenly becoming ambiguous and dark and edgy and all the stuff. When it started out, Captain America, look at the first film. He is a good-hearted Boy Scout, and people love that.
That's what Captain America is.
Yes. And there's a recent show just shockingly from Netflix, right?
Oh, yeah.
And but the shocking thing about it, it has those simple things in it.
What's this show?
It's One Piece.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah, it's a manga. It's a manga, an anime, live action adaptation. And I've watched all episodes except the last one, and people are loving it. And I want to quote to you a line in it,
but
I think you might flip out. So there are these children, and they're learning to be swordswomen. And the girl is constantly beating the boy, and the boy's getting really frustrated and everything like that. And he kind of flips it. And the girl basically says, and I'm paraphrasing, but I'll get to a more direct quote. She says, you know, this isn't going to last. You're going to grow up and you're going to become stronger than me. You'll have longer arms and everything like that. And I'm not going to have a chance. Then she says, girls can beat boys, but no woman can beat a man.
Ooh.
That's in this show.
that's heretical in the one there.
But in the context of physical conflict,
is it wrong?
Right.
Yeah.
And that was in that show. Right. And so this show has traditional themes in it, and people are loving it because it just inherently resonates. And then you wonder why it becomes successful, because and it goes into the whole damsel in distress trope and everything. People try and say that is demeaning to women. Well, actually, when women are in trouble, they really like to get rescued, oddly enough. Shock horror.
Yeah.
And better than being just rescued, being rescued by a handsome prince.
I mean, I'm aware that this is something that a lot of women like. Yeah, I'm put in mind of this Reddit post that I read years ago that for some reason has always stayed in my mind, because it makes me wonder how much of an impact the warrior woman in Hollywood has had an impact on young women. Mm-hmm. Because this woman had just, you know, this young woman, you know, in her 20s had posted how she was play fighting with her boyfriend, right? And she, her boyfriend apparently always lets her win. And she was like, no, come on, I really want you to fight. And he just grabs her and he's got her in a lock. And she was just like, I couldn't do anything. I realized he was just so much stronger than me. Is this normal? And Yes.
Yes. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
When, after I married my wife, right, there were just some clear kind of moments when my strength was able to be compared to her, where she tries to do something and asks me to do it instead. And I've been shocked, like shocked multiple times at the vast strength difference between myself and my wife. And my wife is very representative, just the average woman, especially of her height. Well, and I don't consider myself a particularly strong guy.
But as a mother of five, she's probably very practical, gets a lot of stuff done, you know, very aware of her own agency, you know, and you're just a fairly regular dude.
Exactly.
Like me,
and,
you know.
And when you compare the standard strength that a guy has compared to the standard strength that a woman has, the difference is shocking.
Yeah.
Shocking.
There's an incident of like I always remember that before me and my wife were married, we were, you know, just kind of playing around having a fight, you know, and she had grabbed my finger and she was trying to pull it back, but I was actually able with my little finger to resist, and she was like, how are you doing this? I'm like, I don't know, you know, like, and I'm like, I'm not particularly strong though, but she, and I was just, it was just at that point I was like, oh my god, you know, the like, so the physical difference between men and women is just night and day, and it's not something that men want to, you know, boast about or anything like that, but it's just real, and it has an impact on our lives.
To watch the full video, please become a premium member at lotuseaters.com.